We're starting in Syria, where just months after the fall of the murderous Assad regime, parts of the country are involved in a bloodbath of violence. More than 1,000 people have been murdered in the coastal provinces of Latakia and Tartus, strongholds of support to the old dictator. In High al-Qusur, a mainly Alawite neighbourhood of Banias, residents say that the streets are filled with scattered bodies piled up covered in blood. Witnesses say there that men of different ages were shot dead. The Alawite sect is an offshoot of Shia Islam. It makes up around 10% of Syria's population, which is majority Sunni Muslim. Assad belongs to that sect. The Sunnis faced atrocities at the hands of Assad's regime over the past 13 years, and this has fueled sectarian hatred mainly towards the Alawite minority today. The recent violence was sparked after ambushes on government forces last Thursday. It has now escalated into a wave of violence between Assad loyalists and those security forces. We're joined from Damascus by Porrick O'Brien, foreign correspondent with Channel 4 News. Porrick, thanks as always for joining us on Morning Ireland. What have you been hearing from people there in the past 24 hours?
Well, I think the first thing to say, Audrey, is this morning, just after I leave our call, we're on our way back to the Ministry of Information in Damascus to try and get permission to access those coastal areas. Journalists aren't being allowed to go there and see what's happened themselves yet, but we're going to continue to push for that, obviously. But we have been in more or less constant contact with people in places like Banias and in the countryside east of Tartus and Latakia. And the stories we're hearing are of massacre, basically. So just to give you a sense of that, just this morning and the day before and yesterday, I was talking to people who are hiding in woods as militants are rampaging through their villages. Yesterday, we've been talking to relatives of those who have killed. We heard the story of two doctors, a husband and wife, Dr. Ruba al-Sheikh and her husband, Bassam. They were in their apartment in Banias two days ago. There was a knock on the door. It was the official interim government security forces who searched their home. They thought they were okay after those militants left and phoned their niece, who we spoke to. But then 2 hours later, a knock on the door again, a different group of militants, and everyone inside that home was killed. The numbers are very, very hard to verify, but observers are saying, as you said earlier, we're looking at about 1,000 civilians killed. I suspect that number will be greater.
I heard one Alawite woman telling the BBC that it was Chechens who were doing the killing in her neighbourhood. Is that possible, Porrick?
Yes, it is. There's a very complicated historical dimension to all of this, but just to give you a sense of it, as you said in your introduction, we had an offensive against the government here by pro-Assad soldiers on Thursday. That was an existential threat to this new administration. We think about 250 government security forces were killed over the last 3 days. So as well as a military blow, it was an existential blow to al-Shara's new administration because it had all the makings of an insurgency. And he sent in troops, but not just the troops that are in uniform. A call went out. The official security forces went in, if you like, official quote unquote, but also off the back of that, an influx of other militant groups that are aligned with HDS, al-Shara's former military group. And those people wreaked havoc. And they are a mix of Turkish-backed militants, Islamist militants. There are foreign fighters, Chechen, Uzbeks. And that is the problem. That speaks to exactly what people were warning about, that yes, al-Shara has control and talks about making minorities safe here, but he let the genie out of the bottle, basically, in terms of clamping down on that militant strike on Thursday. And off the back of that, we have a flood of foreign militants and others who went in. And we've seen just the result of that. The videos that we're being sent are virtually unbroadcastable on Channel 4 News. They're so gruesome.
Porik, Syria is suffering from the ruin caused by decades of dictatorship, civil war. It's on the brink of economic collapse. It gets a couple of hours electricity a day. The price of bread has risen eightfold since December. People queue for hours to withdraw whatever few banknotes they can get from ATMs. Is the country ripe for violence like this?
It is. It is. I mean, people were warning about this for some time. I think, you know, there was an initial sense of hope here. Al-Shara was talking about inclusivity. He was talking about protecting minorities. You know, he's been on a round trip of different countries trying to garner international support. And this blows a big hole in that. And in terms of the economics, I mean, every single person associated with or in the government here you talk to before this massacre was talking about getting Western sanctions lifted, particularly US sanctions. But now that's in serious doubt. I mean, the Trump administration, you know, sees Al-Shara et al. As an Islamist terrorist organization. It is, in fact, much more nuanced than that, but that is how that administration sees it. And now with these images coming out, the likelihood of US sanctions being lifted, I would say, is as close to zero as it's ever been.
Well, Al-Shara hasn't promised democracy. He hasn't said if he'll allow political parties to exist. He won't rule out imposing Islamic law. And yet, on the other hand, the sanctions are there, and those arguing for them to be lifted say it would allow money into Syria and for Syria to be able to sell its oil on global markets.
That's right. I mean, the economy, like, it's hard to visualise how poor this place is. You know, I mean, when I walk out of where we are now and make our way to the ministry, you know, there are people begging on the streets. It is an economy on its knees. And it's the people that are suffering here, right? It's the people who have a genuine personal stake in this place that are suffering because of sanctions. But I can't tell you how sort of devastating these images of massacre come. In fairness to Al-Shara, I should say that he did announce yesterday the establishment of a 7-person committee to investigate what happened here over the last 72 hours. And on that 7-person committee, there are 2 Alawites and 1 woman. But let's see how thorough and transparent and rigorous that investigation turns out to be.
Porik, thank you very much. Porik O'Brien, foreign correspondent with Channel 4 News Live from Damascus.